Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. We have a wonderful episode for you here today. It's with Alison Spittle, and she was absolutely fantastic, was she not?
It was, it is indeed. Clarky, you threw me there because I assumed, even though Tom's not recording this intro, he's in the episode, you'd go for the greetings, listeners, didn't
you? Oh, no.
And you didn't, and I was absolutely, I was absolutely all at sea.
That's not my vibe, man.
I know it's not your vibe, but you know, it's very much the vibe of the show. Is it starts by greeting the listeners dear, and you did a, I mean, you know what, at the tried and tested welcome.
Yeah,
nothing I like wrong it. With it.
You know,
absolutely nothing wrong with it.
I was very tempted to go with an oh hi.
You could have gone with an oh hi, yeah.
Oh boy, I'm sweating. I'm really sweating cobs here.
I mean, I'm glad you didn't go with that as the intro.
It is a hot,
I mean,
hot
I think, greetings, listener dear, welcome. These are all fine, but if you start with, oh boy, I'm sweating.
I'm going to start it's with the intro the to listener. Sexy Beast. That's what I'm going to
What you can't hear, what you can't see, obviously, if you're just listening to this, the audio podcast, is that Clarky is recording this lying on a towel in a tiny, tiny pair of yellow budgie smugglers. That's, I mean, actually, he does that regardless. It's only now that the weather has corresponded with the outfit. Yeah. We recorded some episodes in around the December, January period when you were really freezing, weren't you?
It was a long wee winter.
It was a long wee winter.
My cuts were very cold.
Yeah, these are. There were so frosty, they snapped off some of your cuts.
They did. I was like the Terminator 2.
As Clarky said, it's. You can just shake your head away to that reference. You know that bit in Terminator 2 when his dick snaps off?
His dick snaps off. Have you not seen that? Oh my goodness, it's my favourite bit.
That's what he says, his dick snaps off. So this is an episode we recorded with the wonderful Alison Spittle, who is a phenomenal stand-up and obviously also, as you'll hear, very good at sorting out beefs, and had some, you know, had some pretty exciting stories to tell from her own life. Look forward to all of that. If you enjoy our podcast and you would like to help us out, then the Patreon is a great way to do it. You can give us just a small amount of money every month. £4 is all we're asking for, and you get loads of bonus episodes. We're talking backlog of nearly 150 Flatshare lockdowns. There's a ton of bonus beefs, including one with Alison, which will be out on Wednesday. Ooh. And all our previous guests, you know, Kerry, Joey, Jimmy, all those people who've done it, Mae Martin, all that lot. They've all done bonus beefs for us. Joe Hampson, obviously, with Mae Martin. They're all there over on the Patreon. So go to patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare and you can get all your Patreon stuff straight away. What more is
yum,
there?
Yum,
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 yummy, yummy. What more is there to say apart from Clarky sweating?
I am very hot. That's the main takeaway.
Clarky's very hot.
Here are some lovely cold cuts.
Lovely stuff.
Well, if you've got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you've got a problem, call it a beef. If you've got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Cold cuts.
Alison Spittle, welcome. Oh, you've just started to eat. I'm so sorry.
No, mate, I'm just licking a bit of Philadelphia out from between two crackers. Because I'm a renegade that way. That is how I prep for a podcast. I need cream cheese at the end of my tongue and I'm ready. Right, good.
I think if you're about to speak into a microphone, what you really want is some soft cheese in your gob, isn't it?
Oh, it just loosens up the mouth. It's a beautiful feeling. But it has to be consumed between two crackers. You can't, you know, you can't just like put it in freehand. You gotta.
No, I mean that's madness.
Isn't
do you eat
madness?
The cracker as well, or is it just purely as a sort of receptacle for the cheese?
It's a receptacle. It's like a Holy Communion. You know, that's a little cracker. It's a receptacle for Jesus. This is a receptacle for cream cheese.
It's kind of like Philadelphia is kind of like the Jesus of cheeses.
Right? Oh, really, the Jesus of cheeses? Yes. On the third day, I don't know.
Something happened to do with cheese.
That's the Bible, right? I would like to read. It's just a very non-precise one. Where it's like, he did summit.
Because it was all, like, I mean, the Bible was all written, like, you know, sometimes hundreds of years after the event. There must have been bits where they were like, oh, we're a bit sketchy on the details. Just say he walked on water.
Exactly. Jesus probably did say, I have no problem with homosexuals or women. And they just forgot to put that in.
They just left
those
details
that bit
out.
They were like, it's ambiguous on it.
That was like how the walking on water story is like the guy crucially forgot the bridge. Like, oh, yeah. Now that I think about it, there was a he walked over a bridge is what happened. I knew I'd forgotten something.
Yeah, now I think about it, it's not much of a story, so let's just keep it as walking on water. Yeah. It's not much of a tale to it. That bit where so are you saying that he didn't actually disappear and die, he actually just went into a tunnel?
Yeah.
This is what we're saying here, yeah.
He popped to the shops. Came back.
Yeah. On the third day, he rose again. He had a lazy weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
We've all done it. We've all had a duvet.
Well, I mean, if you can turn water into wine, of course you're going to have a massive weekend.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. You need to process that. Yeah.
Which, of course, was just him. He invented Ribena. That's what happened at that party.
So, Alison, thanks very much for coming on the show. What is your flat setup? What are your living arrangements currently?
I am living in a flat in London with 1, 2, 3. It's 3 other rooms. It used to be 4 other rooms. So I used to live with 5 people. And now I live with 4 people because it was inspected and they said you can't live like this. And so we had to have a sitting room instead of the smallest bedroom is now a sitting room. It's wonderful. It's a luxury.
So did you have to sort of draw lots and turf somebody out? Was that the...
It was so awkward. It came during a time... I've been here a couple of years and the responsibility of finding new flatmates kind of has fallen on me. So I told the woman she could move in and she was moving over from Ireland and... I had to then meet her for a coffee, her and her mum, and I said, I'm so sorry, but this is what's happened. She took it really well. She took it really well that now we're friends. So, but like, I had to like look in her mum's face and go, like, she'll be fine in London, elsewhere. Like, you know? She's going to be fine. So, just not with me.
So she just walked out of that coffee. She walked into that coffee shop assuming she had a place to live and walked out as a homeless person.
Genuinely, I felt like Louis Walsh on Pop Idol, where I was just going into a room going, guys, you should be really, really happy because you did your best, but you're not going to make it. I'm sorry.
You did the old switcheroo.
Exactly. I'm living and I got my bedroom, which we're talking from now, has its own balcony. And I'm growing strawberries, potatoes, broccoli, so many tomatoes. I'm so excited about that. I have a little like farm on my balcony. I could show it to you, but
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, sure. I mean, it's not great for the listeners because they don't see the...
Brilliant for us though. We love salad.
Yeah, it is quite the salad. And I'm infested with pigeons at the moment. Do you know what I'll do? I'll do it at the end so I can bring all the equipment out. Because I feel like I'm too much connected.
Get a bit of alfresco recording going on for the last bit. Yeah,
exactly.
A little bit of an outside broadcast. So, and how are you combating the pigeons with your crop? What have you got? Have you got nets over it? Are you using a BB gun? What's your setup?
Unfortunately, I'm too. The flat I'm in is at the top floor, so there's nothing that I can like purchase a net off. Do you know? Right. So I'm netless. Sure. I'm commando. So I am at the moment. but I've put up quite a lot of colouring pencils that are sharpened and put upwards, so they can't really make a nest. And also these windmills. Windmills are supposed to keep them away, and pigeon tape. And I have a water gun as well for when I'm like frustrated.
What's pigeon tape? Is it like? Yeah. It's not like fly tape, is it? It's not like a big bit of sticky tape that like a pigeon flies into. You have to wake up every morning and pluck a load of pigeons off the tape and chuck them back out into the street.
Wouldn't that be horrific? Yeah. Like,
yeah.
I've already stuffed a pillow from like, you know, the feathers I've got on my tape. It's like this shiny tape. Honestly, my balcony, because it's so full of windmills, these like really beautiful foil windmills, and the pigeon tape is like a shiny iridescent kind of silver that kind of moves in a way that like pretends it's a man, you know, like if a man was doing breakdancing, which I think pigeons are very scared of. That's the way it moves. Breakdancers, yeah. And it looks a lot like if the Teletubbies got into drug dealing and had like a kind of layer. Like it's very, there's lots of enforcement. It's pigeon, there's also got like pigeon pokey things as well that came with a manual.
And, oh, pigeon pokey things, gotta collect them all.
It's these I can't remember what it's called, these spikes to keep away the pigeons. They're like plastic, and you get like a manual talking about how you can keep away pigeons. And I've read it all and I've said you really can't. Like they just like, you know, they'll do what they like. They're wild things.
So you've got, basically you've got all of this stuff and you're saying none of it's working.
None of it's working. None of it's working. Yes, basically. I think I've spent £100 on keeping the pigeons away.
Oh my God. Do you know how cheap it is to buy tomatoes?
I know.
For £100, you could have so many tomatoes for £100. They're about like 80p a punnet. They're really cheap tomatoes. You know, you could really get yourself a lot of tomatoes. Potatoes even cheaper.
I know, the Lidl. When I go through Lidl and I see like how cheap they are that week, and remember how much I've spent, and how much like emotional. And do you know what's weird is like potatoes are hard to grow. And I'm Irish, and like we've had issues before with growing potatoes, like quite a big historical issue.
Sure.
And you know, I learned about it in school, and I'm like, oh yeah, that was tragic. But now that I've actually grown potatoes myself, I really, really understand. I'm like, you know, my life isn't relying on this, but it's very inconvenient. Like, it's just very frustrating. So. I love the way you went very silent during the potato famine bit.
It's hard to know whether to leap on and make merry.
I know, I'm setting a trap for you.
Yeah. Which, you know, we circumnavigated that trap, didn't we? We weren't lured in by the shiny things or the windmills. We went right round the trap and ate your tomatoes is what we did. We avoided the potatoes and ate the tomatoes.
Oh, good for you. Get that, you know, the vitamins in. But yeah, so that's I think that's my house situation. I think is there it's anything great. Else? Yeah. I'm going to have another lick of this Philadelphia.
Have a lick.
You grow your own Philadelphia on the balcony as well.
I can't wait for these tomatoes to grow because this Philadelphia is quite plain. You know, it'd be nice.
You need something to go with it. So who are you living with, who are your flatmates?
I got three flatmates. I got four including my boyfriend. I don't consider my boyfriend to be a flatmate. Is that weird? Even though like we ultimately share everything more so, you know. Well, and I mean everything.
he's going to get a lick of that Philadelphia in a second, is he? He's hovering once in the corner waiting.
Yeah, then he comes in from break dancing on the balcony.
Exactly. He eats the crackers when I'm done with it. When I've got the Philadelphia off it, he gets the crackers.
But it's a perfect setup.
Oh, it's perfect. Like, so I'm living in this room. It's got a balcony. I feel like it's quite a big room. So me and my boyfriend live in here. I have my own little mini fridge in here.
Oh,
and
yes.
Dream. Yeah. Well, I don't want to inflict as well, like, because there's quite a lot of people living in this house. And, you know, the fridge only has so many shelves. So it's nice to, like, just make space for other people. I have quite a lot of condiments as well. I've got a whole drawer, like a whole like space.
That's a really polite way of saying that you don't trust your other housemate. You try to make it sound like you're being so considerate. I just want to give them a bit more space. You don't trust your housemates, let's be honest.
Look, I'm getting it from all sides. The housemates, the pigeons, like nothing, you know, nothing is sacred to me. So I live with them. I've been, and they're really lovely. And during the lockdown and everything, you know, we've been kind of working from home, but it's all kind of worked out quite nicely. Yeah.
Oh, that's lovely. Great. I mean, it's not great for this podcast, which is all about beefs you've got with your flatmates.
I've had
but
so much conflict.
We'll get to that as well. we'll tease that for the end. You know, if people are enjoying the episode already, stick around because we're going to get you're going to get to hear us look at some tomatoes, yes. And you're going to get to hear about some conflict. But
you'll get your blood. Don't worry.
Let's dive in with the first beef. Parry, do you want to kick off?
This is extraordinary stuff. Girlfriend's partner beef from Ooh. Day via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Hello, my wife is in another serious relationship. Both relationships have existed for more than 10 years. We're all happy. There's no jealousy. It all works wonderfully. So please don't judge us for that.
Okay.
No, it's very, very modern. And we're all, you know, as cool youngsters, we're all very chill about that. Yeah. We're all very chill about polyamory.
And by that, I mean, I'm struggling to get my head around
it. I'm confused. I'm aroused. I don't know what's going on.
I've got a clue how this would even begin to work in my world.
My God.
But when, carrying on. But when my wife's girlfriend comes to stay, they always send me to stay at my parents' house. This is a little embarrassing since my parents clearly know what's going on. I only go to stay with them when this particular person comes to stay, and this is exacerbated by my almost total inability to lie. My mom once asked me if I'd made the spare room nice for her, and I said, don't worry, they only need one bed. Why can't I just stay in the spare room? I'd happily stay out of their way. My wife insists that she would happily bail out if I had another partner come to stay, but A, I don't know where she'd go, and B, it really wouldn't bother me if she stayed. It's not that the girlfriend and I don't get on, by the way. We'd certainly consider one another friends. It's more that they don't get to stay together so often and don't want to be antisocial towards me. Isn't it more antisocial to kick me out, though? Here's a second beef, in case the first one was too rude. My wife's dog is hysterically sexually attracted to one of my cats. What do I do? Thanks for the years of fun, Day.
Thank you, Day. Let's start with the first beef first, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like we should. We'll get to the cats and dogs, you know, the difference between cats and dogs in a bit. Right. My initial thought is all of this, you know, oh, we just don't want to be in your way, Day, oh, that kind of stuff, is a total cover.
Right.
They want you out the way, Day. They're being nice to you. They're being polite to you to say, oh, you know, like, I know, you know, it's just better if you're out of the house. That's what they want. But they're dressing it up as, you know, oh, it would just, we don't want to make it awkward. We don't want to make it antisocial, all of that kind of stuff. They need you out the way so they can have their fun. Not guilt free. I don't want to use the word guilt, but you know what I mean? In a relaxed way where they're not thinking, oh, Day's just sat in the spare room on his own. That's my immediate thought. Your thoughts.
I think that's kind of implied. I think like them saying, look, we don't want to be antisocial towards you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that means like if you stay, we're not going to be paying you any attention at all. Do you know what I mean? Like it's kind of like,
I think it's more than that though, isn't it? That's the polite version. Yeah. I think Day has to suck this up, doesn't he? I appreciate going back to your parents is tough.
Mm.
But you know, Premier Inns, £39 a night.
Oh, go and there's a great breakfast as well there, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I know that becomes expensive, but
well, they could foot that bill.
Maybe they could split the cost with you. Yeah.
That would be a good idea. Like, so just to get this straight, because I think I blocked out half of this because I'm ex-Catholic and it just wouldn't go into my head. Like, so are they're kind of trying to prevent the person they're in a relationship with, to they're preventing them, making them feel like the third wheel.
Yes.
In this situation, right?
Yeah.
That's and they're worried about the parents knowing. Do the parents full on know they're in a polyamorous relationship?
I mean it's hard to tell, isn't it?
I think it's kind of an unspoken truth, I think, is kind of how it feels.
What they need is they need to get Louis Theroux in and just have him in the corner.
You'd love this.
Oh, yeah, because the parents would watch it. Like, I feel like if you want to tell your parents something that you don't quite have the spoons to be able to kind of, like, explain, just get Louis Theroux in. They'll see it eventually on the iPlayer. Like, you know, you can just stay at their house and not explain anything. Just, I don't know.
I think definitely get Louis Theroux in.
Yeah.
No situation can't be improved with bringing a bit of Louis Theroux into it.
Definitely.
I wonder if, though, it's bigger than just being embarrassed in front of your parents, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like him. It's him wanting to. It's Day wanting to be there, and them not wanting him to be there.
But I don't think he wants to be there with them.
No, I don't think so either. I think he just wants...
I think they need to go. They need to get a hotel room. They need to go to either
the
girlfriend's house. Yeah.
And or Day's parents' house.
Very often. Yeah, tricky. I think, like, you know, they don't see each other very often. They can make it special, can't they? Get a nice little Airbnb by the quay or something. I mean, it's not Day's responsibility to get out of the way.
Yeah.
Because he's at home. He hasn't left home. So she should either go to the girlfriend's place where no one has to leave, or they have to get a place of their own. That's the only, like, that makes logical sense with what's going on.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, like, what this feels like to me is the one thing I always feel when I hear about polyamory.
Mm-hmm.
Is what on the surface feels like, you know, like this kind of completely kind of fluid, we just go with the flow, we live our life freely. The more I think about polyamory and the more I read, like, whenever I read about it and stuff, it feels like it's something inherently tied up in a lot of rules in order to succeed.
I think you're
and
right.
When there
yeah.
aren't loads of rules in place, then it's deeply problematic. And so it actually, for me, it feels like what on the surface would be like free love, man. We're all just going for it. It's great. Actually turns into a serious amount of admin that a monogamous relationship doesn't have. And I think that's one of the big appeals of monogamy. It's probably the only appeal of monogamy
today. is not having to constantly update your G-cal. Yeah.
Distinct lack of admin. But like, clearly these are rules that should have been set down at the start of this arrangement and like clauses and stuff. You need to kind of hammer out the options. And I think this would have been one of them where you say, if you're seeing your other partner, it's away from the home.
It's like,
I feel like that's a simple clause to put in.
It feels like the splitting of Germany after World War II, of kind of like deciding, you know, where the action happens and where it doesn't happen. And it also feels like if you're into polyamory, it's like being into horses, into the equestrian lifestyle. You need a few outhouses, I feel. A few spare outhouses would be quite handy.
Even a tent in the back garden. I don't know if they've got a garden, but even something like that where you could be like, Day gets the house, they get the tent.
Yes,
I think
exactly.
It's partly why when you watch things like The Crown and you look at like the aristocracy, it's why so many of them are capable of having these kind of lots of lovers and these kind of complicated love lives. It's because they've got the property to do it with.
Yes.
Yes, big time.
It's a lot to do with your real estate. Do you know what I mean?
It's land, like, isn't it? What you need is land.
I haven't got enough land to have an affair, you know what I mean? It's like, as soon as I can get myself a portfolio of property, then we're going to have to talk about how monogamous I am.
This is it. This is why us paupers are forced to do it in the lay-by.
Exactly.
You know, it's like there's two ways of having an affair.
Doggers, Crosby, they're doggers, not paupers. You got that wrong.
Yeah, you never see like a Ferrari or anything like that at a dogger's place. It's never quite like a very nice sports car.
Never see Jamiroquai.
You need an adultery ring, a wing. You need a wing of a house for adultery. That's what you need.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what you need a second. Yeah, that's what you need a second home from. What you need? Yeah, you need one of those pied-à-terres, aren't you?
Is that advice today? Be wealthier.
Yes, yes, it is.
It can't solve all your problems, but in this case, it really could. I think that might be beef solved. Do you want to go on and solve the cat dog beef?
Oh, that one's easy. Just get some dog tape.
Well, and tape over its, like, you know, sexy looking parts, like.
It's really simple, actually. Just buy your dog a house and buy your wife's cat a house. They can
keep
be Airbnbs
separate
most of the year. You'll, you know, be a good form of second income, but you know, yeah, there you go.
So are you saying that, like, right, it, like, here's a question. I'm just going to ask it. What would happen if a dog... I mean, we're not talking about a massive dog. We don't know what size dog or what size cat they've got. But what would happen if a dog and a cat made love to each other? Would that be... I mean, it, obviously, you know, we're imagining they've been neutered and spayed and all that.
You know,
but would that
throw from Thundercats?
From Thundercats.
I think you'd get something like that.
Hold on. Surely there'd have to be some human in there.
Yeah, you're fucking a cat, maybe. Don't see the dog there.
I'm sure the cat and the dog would have like a lot of confused feelings after, and maybe would have to like process it. You know?
Well, it sounds like the dog's already pretty confused. Mm. What was the phrase? Hysterically sexually attracted?
Yeah, that's a Counting Crows song, isn't it?
Actually, I think if a cat had sex with a dog, it would look a bit like Adam Duritz from The Counting Crows. That would be the result. I think that's not a bad bit like Panthro, a bit like Adam Duritz.
I don't even know who Adam Duritz is in relation to Counting Crows, but I feel I know. Do you know what I mean? I like
yeah. He looks a bit like a cat fucked a dog. So again, yeah, once again, I think buy them separate houses. Basically, what you've got to become, Day, for this whole thing to be sorted, is you've got to be like a property magnate.
Invest in Bitcoin.
Invest in Bitcoin. Use that Bitcoin to get on the property ladder. Don't waste it on non-fungible stuff. Get some real, some tangible bricks and mortar and become...
like Bitcoin.
No.
Get something tangible.
Invest the money into tangible things. Like I'm saying, don't waste your Bitcoin on other crypto nonsense. Get it into, you know, get it on...
Imagine if the answer to all of our beefs was invest in crypto. And then it revealed that we had a new sponsor and it was like that Robin Hood app or something. Oh, by the way, we should say we're sponsored by Robin Hood now. Anyway, keep investing in that crypto, guys.
By the way, we are floating the Pappy dollar at home next week.
Let's get it up there.
But yeah, again, I think strong advice from all of us here. Get on the property ladder, buy loads of properties, and then it won't be a problem anymore.
I think the amount of lovers you have in your life should equate to the amount of property that you own. Beef solved.
Yeah.
Beef brother sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan,
turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
The Lion Dancer and Her Son Beef. I have beef with one of my grown-up kids on March 17th, 2020. That's St. Patrick's Day. That person isn't saying that. I'm saying that. So don't, I'll read it again.
No, that's great. And also, happy St. Patrick's Day for a couple of months ago.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it. My nightclub photographer son, David, front names only, brackets, and I, line dance teach... Oh, wait there. I'm going to read this again. I have beef with one of my grown-up kids.
And also, happy St. Patrick's Day, Alison. Should say, yeah.
On March 17th, 2020, my nightclub photographer son, David, and I line dance teach to the over 70s. We had our work stopped and have since spent way too much time in each other's company in the various lockdowns. Restrictions and intermittent work... sorry about this. I am really fecking up this.
I think what we're getting from it is,
yeah,
he's a photographer.
Yeah,
she is a line dance teacher. When lockdown started, they both lost their jobs. Is what they're saying. All their work went away, and they were living together. And they were. I think that's what we're getting.
David is 24 and has to live with me, and is a star. He has recorded line dance videos with me and helped me run Zoom classes. Quite a struggle when I'm so tech incompetent and my dancers know even less. Credit where it is due. Now the beef. He never does the washing up. I don't mind.
Wow.
I'm happy to do it all. I've had years of practice and it's an achievable goal. We don't have a dishwasher. That dishwasher is me, and that's fine. But when he decides it is time that washing up is done, which is rarely straight away, he piles everything up in the corner. It looks very neat, but it makes everything more dirty. Any sauce or gravy on the plates gets transferred to the bottom of a relatively clean plate. Saucepans get the remains from the frying pan stuck to the bottom. Cups are piled of any amount of drink left in them. Yes, it is disgusting. I should do the washing up more often. Until then, however, I think he should either wash up when the clutter gets to him or leave well alone and let me organise things in my own way. Am I right? Or should I put up with this minor inconvenience, considering he has helped me so much that he is now able to do an impromptu line dance despite having no interest in it? And can speak middle-aged lady. The other day he said, I like your top to me. He has suffered enough for me to leave him alone. Or should he leave me and my washing up alone? We both listen to your podcast, as do my other children, Becky and Sam, who will be sad that they have not been mentioned, but they are not living with me at the moment. I look forward to the beef being solved and will abide by the decision. Many thanks for keeping us slightly less insane. Cheers, everyone. Bye, Chris. Hey!
Oh,
hey.
Thank you, Chris.
That's a lovely beef.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
What I like as well is there's colour to it, right? Mm. Ostensibly, it's a washing up beef. It's straight down the middle. It's your classic beef. But the colour around it is gorgeous, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not too far off one of those newsletters that families send out.
It's got the whiff of the round robin. It really does.
I wanted to know what the other kids were up to. Do you know what I mean? Like, sure, they're not living with you. How are they doing? What are they up to at the moment?
Becky and Sam. Yeah, it felt like a lovely letter into BBC Radio 2. Like, I felt like Steve Wright reading that out.
That's great. Should have gone into the Righteous Brothers off the back of it.
Yeah. yeah, what do you think of that? I think it's quite a nice beef. I don't feel there's any real anger, is there? There.
No, what we need to do is invest in crypto and then buy a dishwasher. It's not rocket science, is it?
We'll be giving the code for the Pappy. Everybody, all our listeners get one free Pappy dollar to start off, just to get the currency on its feet.
So we start off with a nice 10 Pappy dollars
out there in the ether.
We're flooding the market.
So I feel very emotionally involved in this beef because I am a stacker.
I see.
As soon as she started to bring that to the plate, I thought, I stack those plates. I know, I like the aesthetic of condensing the amount of things that need to be washed up into a single place, especially if you're not the person doing the washing up, because it looks like you've helped.
Yes, it does.
You reduce the amount of work physically. It looks visually like there isn't that much more to do.
Yeah.
You know, you've ordered it for someone, so it feels like you're helping. But
you are helping, though, Tom. Tom, you are helping because you're reducing the general clutter. If someone wants to then make a sandwich, for example, there's not dirty dishes everywhere. Yeah. They're just in one place. So you are helping a bit.
You're helping in one way, but when she started talking about the extra washing up you bring to the washer-upper, I was like, I knew. I've always known.
That touched a nerve.
I've always known. Look, there's gravy on the top and bottom of this bowl now.
You're on gravy bowl.
But Tom, think about this though. Think about this. You're not increasing the amount of gravy. You're not putting more gravy.
I mean, if you evenly spread the gravy across the work surfaces, you're not increasing the amount of gravy, but you are increasing the amount of work.
You're not increasing
there's only a finite amount of gravy, much the same way there's only a finite amount of papicoid. Once you can find those papicoid, and talk about gravy dish, what about a gravy train, guys? Get on board. The crypto train that is Papicoin.
Papicoin, it's all gravy. I'm literally going to say what Tom says. I think I agree with myself here. And
feels
I do.
Good, doesn't it?
It does feel good to agree with myself. But listen, I think that if you've got gravy on the top of a dish, right? And then you put a cup on it, you're still going to have to wash that cup, right? You're not actually adding to the amount of actual washing you've got to do, right?
But when I'm washing a cup, I don't want to have to turn my attention to the bottom of the cup too much, because the work is in the cup, isn't it?
Yeah.
Suddenly, there's congealed gravy on the base of that cup. Now I've got to put in a bit of elbow grease on the bottom as well.
Yeah.
Normally, the bottom is cursory.
Yeah, but you've taken off the amount of elbow grease you're taking off the top of the plate.
Not really, though.
I think my kitchen surface analogy works. You've slightly cleaned the plate with the bottom of the cup.
Rinsing out a gravy bowl, as we all have.
Yeah.
That's quite Clarky, like a singular.
Clarky loves his rinsing, doesn't he?
I love a rinse.
Back on the rinsing.
Hey, listen, I mean, I want to get back onto the rinsing, because that, I believe, is the answer to all of this. But if you're rinsing out a gravy bowl, that is like one job. It doesn't matter if there's a little bit more in there, you still got the same amount of work. If that gravy is spread to the bottom of something else, that is more work. See what I mean?
It's like having a shower.
It's a contained job.
Yeah, I get you. Are we talking like, is this a cornflour heavy gravy as well? Like, this is a thick gravy?
I mean, it's ideally thick rather than a broth.
Well, that's satisfying. I think it's like, it's like having a shower. You focus on a lot more areas with a lot more detail than you would with other bits of you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like when you stack it on top of each other, it is like putting your knee into your armpit. It is. Where you have to really pay attention to your knee as well. You wouldn't have done that before, but now you have to, you know?
Sure.
So you got your own gravy on your knees, I suppose, you know?
You know what? I was totally on my own side there until you did the old knee into the armpit argument. Now,
I should have seen it coming, really.
I have to respectfully disagree with myself.
Can I ask a side question amongst this that has been on my mind for a very long time now? And Tom, I know that you do this. You know, if you're in a restaurant, you've eaten, what's the etiquette there? Is it kind, is it nicer to stack your plates in anticipation of the staff coming to take it away? Or do you leave well alone?
It depends on the crockery, doesn't it? Like, if you've had like a hollandaise sauce in a separate jug, they know how to stack it. If you're just going to leave it there on top of the plate, they have to like restack what you've done, and then you feel like a right shithead. You know?
Yeah. Because also as well, sometimes they will. I know they do it obviously when they are bringing the plates out, but sometimes they'll do a stack kind of along the arm. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
And that's when you really don't want gravy on the bottom of a plate.
Yeah,
if they're,
very
you know,
true.
If they're wearing their crisp white uniform, you don't want that gravy all the way down it. So you've actually caused them troubles.
I've got a suggestion. They should
no more gravy.
Think about eating something that isn't gravy. Yeah. Vary your diet a little bit, guys.
Oh, but gravy, I don't know, so gravy nice, is man.
It's especially it's, after a big line dancing session. Yeah. Oh, God, you've earned that bowl
bit
of gravy.
Cow pie and gravy.
Yeah, just to replace your diet with like mini cheddars. They're the most dirty food you can have.
A nice bit of Philadelphia between them.
Yeah, if you want, keep it saucy. But mini cheddars, they're a clean food, I believe they are generally.
Does anybody else? Now, this was a thing I used to do in my house. My family did this growing up, and then when I did it in front of my wife, she found it grim. Oh. But did anyone else go and clean up the gravy with a slice of bread after you'd finished your dinner? We'd always have, like, if we had something that had gravy, like a roast, we'd all then go and get a nice slice of bread and wipe it all around the plate. It wouldn't be part of the meal. It would be brought out afterwards.
Oh, would you eat the bread?
Washing up. That's all.
We'd eat the bread. Obviously, we'd eat the bread. Yeah, yeah. We'd clean it with a bit of bread and then chuck it in the bin. we love food waste in our house. That's what you should know. Most of that chicken's already gone in the bin. It's just straight into.
Well, you don't want the chicken. You just want the gravy.
Would roast
the chicken
a
makes.
Whole pig and then throw it into a skip as a little treat for us on a Sunday.
Well, what about what I do with a fry up? I do it with a fry up. You save like a bit of toast.
Lovely, lovely with a fry up.
Get that bean juice and all that, you know. Mm. But not with a roast, and it feels that. I mean, how long after the roast do you get the bread and put it on?
Straight away, immediately. You bring it, and also as well, sometimes as well, we'd leave a little bit of gravy that was just for the bread.
Ooh.
So you'd put the bread down. You clean up the bread, and you have basically bread with gravy on one side. Then you'd very carefully pour gravy onto the top of your bread, so it soaked in, and then you'd eat up all the rest of this gravy-soaked bread. It was amazing. But now I say it out loud.
Yeah,
it sounds great.
I'm like, have you heard of Yorkshire pudding?
We had all that
does.
As well, but we're a very gravy-heavy family. We love a good gravy.
Can I ask, Crosby?
Yes.
Do you ever have bread sauce?
Yes.
Ooh, and what happens then? Slice of beef?
Slice of gravy.
Yeah.
We get the skin off the gravy and then wipe the bread sauce up with that.
Big soft.
Does Chris want us to incorporate her line dancing into this? Is that why she's put the detail of the line dancing? Is that the key to, you know,
we could do a line dancing song where we encourage her son to rinse the plates. So it could be like 1, 2, rinse the plates, 4, 5. There's another number there. I forgot about that.
The only thing holding Alison back from being one of the great line dancers was her inability to count to 5.
I got chucked out of steps for that. It was very sad to be replaced by Faye. Like, she's got the life that I wanted. I think we should genuinely come up with a line dancing song involving rinse and plates. I think
right.
You can do it. Count.
Okay. So, well, we've got the first line.
Oh, wait. Do you want us to count and then you do the...
Wait. 1, 2, step to the sink. 3, I had to think there for a second. 3, 4.
Rinse some more!
There
we go. Yes.
5, 6.
Stack them.
Like sticks.
7, 8. There's still a nice bit of gravy on that plate. Give us a slice of bread, I'll sort it out for you.
Yes.
Sorted. We've done it.
9, 10. Do it again. And there we go.
There we go. If someone wants to put that all together with a nice bit of sort of Cotton Eye Joe underneath it, then we'll send that to Chris and that'll sort out all of her problems.
Yeah.
Be solved.
With just you going, it's all gravy over the top of it.
Ends with it's all gravy. Yeah.
Well, obviously, it ends in invest in puppy coin.
Sorting out your bees.
Yeah. Hello, hello. Dangling beef from Ian.
Ooh.
Via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Get in touch. Hi, Beef Brothers and potential guest. Oh, we got a guest, all right. I have a persistent beef with my wife, whom is a prolific leaver of things dangling over the edge of work surfaces. On a daily basis, she will set something down ranging from her phone to documents, pans, even sometimes knives, brackets, exclamation mark, with the edge poking over the edge of the table, stroke counter, by a good 1 or 2 inches. I should stress, the knife was the handle rather than the blade over the edge.
Worse.
Yeah. I was wondering, is it... Yeah.
I think it's...
If you knock the handle, the blade spinning round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slash you.
Yes. maybe that's the intention.
She's
maybe
like she hasn't home
got
alone.
She hasn't got the guts to shiv her own husband. But she's just setting little exactly as you say, little Kevin McAllister traps all around the house. What has she also put a bowling ball on the top of one of the doors? Because in which case it's got nothing to do with dangling.
Over the edge.
Is your head on fire?
That's kind of like the start of a lawyer's advert. Is your head on fire? Call 0118.
And invest in Pappy coins. Go on, carry on, Clarky.
It's not a matter of lack of kitchen worktop space or anything, so I just do not understand why it's necessary. To make matters beefier, we have a nearly 2-year-old bumbling around the house. She is a clear and present danger at the best of times, and now is becoming increasingly interested and grabby for things like this. Yeah. I have enclosed a photo in case you had trouble visualising this complex image.
Do you want to share that image?
Talk us through it, Clarky.
Well, you've all heard of dick pics, right? So, it is dangling. No, he's got... It's a photo of a table, various items on the table, including a phone that is indeed hanging about an inch over the edge of the table. It is strange.
It's
a weird habit.
It's one thing when it's just, you know, you and your partner. It's another thing when you're leaving knives dangling over the edge and you've got a kid. Because, yeah, our daughter's nearly 2 and she's just at the level now where she can reach up to... So, it, you know,
pans,
suddenly become
knives,
really 4. Yeah, pans, knives, all of that kind of stuff. Even just like, you know, even a pan that's not got anything in it that's just on the counter can still, like, if she pulled the handle, it would still land on her head and get wedged on. You know, so it's still bad. Like, every bit of it is bad. So... It's tricky. I mean,
at the risk of repeating a tactic that
I knew this was coming.
Last episode, Alison, I introduced a game where if someone, like, one of the beefs was people are leaving fans on around the house.
Yes.
So my argument was, if you find a fan that's been left on, you're allowed to keep it. So I think you introduce a game with your wife where if it's over the edge, you get to have it.
Yeah.
And you get to hide it. And you confiscate anything that she leaves dangling over the edge. And again, you just take a photo, photographic evidence, and then you stick it, you hide it, or you have a box and it's gone in the dangle box.
The edge ledge.
I feel like this listener is like really harshing this woman's chill. Like, she obviously likes to live on the edge, leaves her stuff on the edge. We can't go bungee jumping anymore or do anything like that. And she's just having a little frill in her life with the life of her child, I admit. But still, it's a little frill to like have a bit of danger in the house. You can't child-proof everything.
Let her have the thrill, though. Don't incorporate your kids into your cheap thrills. I think you know when you said the game, Parry. You absolutely right. It reminded me of when we were on your stag, on your stag do. Now the stag do with your family was for me one of the most intense weekends of my life. But there's constant forfeits. It's like it was always forfeits of, you know, if you're holding the drink with the wrong hand, you've got to down it. But one of them was if you had your drink a certain amount, like it had to be a thumb's length away from the edge of the table. It had to be more than a thumb's length away from the edge of the table. And if it wasn't, and they spotted it, you had to then down that drink.
Whoa.
Is there a way of bringing that level of tension?
I don't think you should down knives.
Neck the knife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've got to do the carnival trick of knife swallowing. Yeah. No, like it's got to be knife. Some sort of punishment about if it you know, maybe it's not even that you, maybe it's not even that you're taking them and putting them in a box. Maybe it is that you're breaking them.
Mm.
You know,
you're breaking them.
If we see it, it's gone forever.
You buy yourself a massive pair of scissors, and you just cut off whatever is over the edge of the table, like a pair of shears, and just whoom. So the bottom of her phone, shoom, gone.
Yeah, one of those super sharp Ginsu knives. Slice straight through the bit of the phone. Oh, apparently this third isn't important to you. You don't care about this third of your phone. Whoomph, straight through it. It's good.
Or
I really like it.
Buy another house. That is always there as an option.
And if you are looking for the best way to buy a house is obviously with cryptocurrency. Mm. And can we recommend Pappy Dollars? They're being floated as of this week. Very exciting. Get them now. I don't know.
Be the bread to mop up that. Happy gravy.
Be the bread. So what are we saying? What's our final?
I think Tom's hide them is the most realistic and effective.
You don't. Yeah. If you can't be trusted with it, you don't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where is the box though?
Because
that's the other thing as well, like it, you know.
Well, it's dangling over the edge of the water over across.
Okay, beef solved.
Beef solved.
Lovely bit of edging beef.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
So my beef involves. It was a house I lived in for 5 years. The rent was so good that I stayed there, even though I was at war for about 2 years over this issue that never got resolved. So the issue is, when I moved into this house, very cheap rent, the decor was 70s kind of style. And the art that was in the house was art made by artist people that lived in the house, very amateur art. So there was a very big painting of a woman floating in the air with spirals around her that scared everybody. And also, once I was on my bike is called Judge Judith Scheindlin, and it was quite a big bike with ribbons on it and a big basket, and people would leave offerings in this bike because it was just so ostentatious. It was a mad bike. And somebody left a piece of art in my bike basket, which was a crow's skull hot glued to a canvas that was kind of painted pink and yellow. So I looked at that and I was like, that's a sign, I'm going to put that up in the shared area. Anyway, this woman moved in, didn't like my crow's skull, didn't like the old art left by other people, and took down the art without asking any of us, threw it into a bin, and replaced it with Live, Laugh, Love.
No!
I swear! No. Stuff from she got photo frames from Primark that had stock photos of other people on the beach, none of her family or friends, but they were put up in the shared area. So it was a war over like artwork within the shared area, and that is my big beef with this woman. It was very strange.
That's a crime.
That is one of the most egregious beefs ever brought to the pod.
genuinely a shocking beef, that one. Because you can't just wander into, you know, the Louvre and take down the Mona Lisa and put up It's Prosecco O'Clock. You know, that's not...
Yes.
That feels like
the
actual...
Go in the bin! In the bin
as well!
In the bin, yeah.
Who the hell do you think you are?
I know, obviously, art is extremely subjective. You know, certain people like certain things, that's fine. But at the same time, there's no art that I wouldn't defend, you know, like, to exist, right? Rather than go in the bin, you know.
And I would have appreciated a discussion. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't. She felt because it was so ugly to her that this couldn't have been a discussion that we had with the house as a whole. And it became like a really passive aggressive, taking bits of art down, putting it up again type thing. It was just horrible.
Did you rescue it? So you rescued it from the bin and put it back up?
I took it out of the bin and I put it back up. Yeah, I did.
Yes.
Yeah. And so,
where did this end? How did this end?
Genuinely, it ended. It culminated in a massive row because, oh gosh, I'm gonna try. So, it ended with me coming home drunk one night and finding my printer that I'd left in the sitting room in my room. And I came down and I said, "You're not allowed in." I said it in a very angry way. I was like, "You're not allowed in my room." She stood up and said, "You don't shout at me." And then I shouted at her until she sat down again. And then I had to move. That's how it ended. There was a lot of inbuilt tension there. There was a lot of...
My advice to you was going to be, shout at this person until they sit down.
I genuinely as well never felt more powerful in my life. I felt like I was in prison and I had just made a big show of aggression. Do you know what I mean? Just to go like...
Yeah.
It felt amazing. If I was a man, I think I would have had an erection. Like, I just felt that, like, well, masculine.
We've all got boners now.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you for that story.
Power boners.
Power boners, exactly. Do you think, though, do you think this might be why you've basically turned your room into its own flat?
Yeah, I think it is.
Do you think that sort of bled into this?
Yeah.
The mini fridge and all that kind of stuff.
And even in, we have... When this new room was made, when the ex-bedroom was made into a sitting room, I made sure not to have any, like, involvement in the decorating. That was for everyone else. Like, I went to IKEA and I bought, like, mutual furniture for it, but it was very plain and it was more practical. I would never, ever kind of, like, say, put my personality in a mutual area ever again. I'll do it in my own room.
That's a shame, though, isn't it? She's sort of forced you to hide your light under a bushel slightly.
Well, I think it's because I found the Primark. I was like living in the homewares department of Primark. There was just like these decorative cushions everywhere, and it made me feel terrible inside being in that. And like, I'm not the I don't have the best taste in the world. I don't pretend to, so I wouldn't inflict my taste on other people. I'll do it in my room and stuff, but like, you know.
I suppose that's the solution I was going to come up with for this was I was thinking, could you not have created artworks of her? And so then she's a bit conflicted as to whether or not to take them down.
I've got three words of advice for both of you. Live.
Love. It's a mutual living space. You need to bring the laughter back.
We
with
do
love.
With love until do you have, like, what would you put up in your mutual living area if there were, like, you know, pieces of sage advice that you could, like, put on a piece of wood?
Three words, very very simple. Buy pappy dollars. That's all I can say.
Invest in crypto.
I do feel like investing in crypto is the live, laugh, love of men.
Nobody's watching.
It's crypto o'clock.
Like you've never been hurt. Buy crypto like you can afford it.
Beef solved.
Yes, beef solved. It's protein o'clock.
Alison, thank you so much for coming on the pod. It's been a total pleasure having you on.
No problem.
Where can people find you? Do you want to quickly plug Wheel of Misfortune and all that kind of gubbins? Yeah,
I do a podcast with Erin Brady called Wheel of Misfortune. You can find it on BBC Sounds and other places you get podcasts. I got an old podcast called The Alison Spittle Show, which is on headstuff.org, and that's about it, really. I hope you have a lovely life and stuff like that, and thanks for having me on the podcast.
Alison, it's been a total pleasure.
Yeah, it really has. You've been brilliant.
Hopefully see you very soon.
Absolutely. I'll see you guys. Have a great day.
Take care.
Bye.
So there we go. A fantastic episode from Alison. And again, as we said, if you love Alison's stuff, then obviously follow her on Twitter and go and see her live. But also join our Patreon and get even more Alison Spittle on Wednesday. Tomorrow, as you're listening to this, there will be a bonus beef solved by her and us on our Patreon, patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare. Oh, also, if you want to send us a beef yourself, then you know the address to go to. Clarky.
Oh, no. Oh, no. It is beefbrothers.
Yep.
At gmail.com.
Oh, beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com.
Beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com.
We would love some more beefs. We've got some more guests booked. We haven't recorded any more episodes. We've got some more guests booked. So we need some more beefs. So send them today. Beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Get in touch with us. Send us your beefs. Follow us on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. But most of all, leave us a review. Click like and subscribe and recommend this podcast to your friends. Because it really, you know what, we really would like to get some brand new listeners. We love the current listeners. Nothing wrong with
them. Oh, yeah. I mean, they're our faves, of course.
You guys are our faves.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we'd love some new listeners. So tell people about the podcast. Leave us a review. Click like and subscribe. Tweet about it. Shout it from the rooftops and tell the world that this podcast exists, because we can't be bothered. We tweet about it and that's about as far as it goes.
Yeah, that's it, man.
But yeah, thank you for listening.
It's too hot. Too hot for all of that.
It's too hot to tweet. That's how bad it's got. thanks for listening, guys. We will see you next time. This episode was produced by Emma Corsham.
Caution team.
Cheers, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody. Please be upstanding for the Patreon Neighborhood Watch, a roll call.
I don't know. Sorry, I brought my tiger along with me.
All right. they're great. Now... listen to me, everybody. I've been out in the field. I've been planting some radish. I've been planting some carrot. And I've been planting some celery. And I'm giving it all to the wonderful Alex Ellery. Me feet.
My poor old tired feet. I've been up and down in my tractor, collecting the crops to give to them. Who's them? Well, of course, it's my favourite, M.
It's M.
It's
of course
M.
It's M. Of course. Me elbows. Sorry. Oh, I've been out in the field and oats and beans and barley grow. And let me tell you now, I've been out in the field planting my lettuce. I've been planting me iceberg. I've even planted some romaine heart. And I'm going to give them all to Andy Lockhart.
I'm not sure about your business model there.
I don't know. I'm giving it all away
just
today.
Just giving it all away.
I'm going crazy. I'm slashing prices. I'm giving it all away.
He's the most generous pirate I ever did meet.
The pirate farmer with a generous heart. That is me. And of course, Andy Lockhart.
Well, I beat out to my green silo. Oh. And I've collected up all the grain and I'm going to give it away to my favourite pally, Rebecca Lally.
She's getting all the grain she can carry. I hope she brought her own silo and I hope it's on wheels. Right, let me tell you now, I've been out in the fields from morning through to dusk. And I've been sowing me wild oats.
Oh boy. Well, now you're being way too generous.
I've been sowing me wild oats. That's right. After I've finished planting seeds, I have myself a little fun. And I have it with Adam Pat Patterson.
Well, I've been out.
Oh, he's been out.
I've been out. Up and down the perimeter fence.
Checking that those velociraptors can't escape.
They never hit test the same place twice.
They never test the same place twice. That's right.
Oh, he's checking the perimeter fence. And guess what I caught? Kitty Spence.
No, oh, clever girl. Right. I've been out. I tell you what, the other day I was milking one of me goats. Ooh. And then I put it up in a big harness and I lowered it into the tank full of dinosaurs. I said, that's enough for you, me boy. That's enough for you, Billy Goat Gruff. Yes, I lowered it down into the tank full of vicious dinosaurs and all that was left was bones. And I said, you can have them, David Jones.
I'm giving him all away.
David Jones's locker is full of old goat bones.
Hence, oh, I'm a treasure.
Hence his nickname, the bloke you don't want to stand next to a locker of. I can tell you that now. It's full of goat bones.
Well, I was just outside the perimeter fence and...
oh, yeah?
I was in a car and it was me and my sister and... you wouldn't believe what came along.
Oh, no.
A blooming T-Rex.
No, not a T-Rex.
Not satisfied with all of his goat bones. He's come for an oar on us. And the man who was with us just ran off.
No.
What an absolute. I've gone Welsh. What an absolute bedwetter. What was his name? Matthew Ledbetter.
He ran off. He's an absolute bedwetter. Not great at the Welsh accent, I've got to say. I'm going to go back to me farmer's voice. Oh. I can tell you now. Oh, I was looking at those dinosaurs and I said to myself, your scientist was so preoccupied with whether or not they could. They never stopped to think if they should. Mm. I tell you what, if I was a scientist, I'd feel like a total Wally. And I said all of that to my good friend, Holly.
Well,
me boy.
Well, me lads.
Well, me lad, I'm from the Welsh Valleys.
I was out in a field, of course.
Yes.
Looking at the Dilophosauruses.
Oh, the old Dilophs.
The old Dilophs. Of course, I climbed a tree. I was very scared of them. One came along. It was just like a cow. Sneezed on me. Turns out, a lovely fellow. So I turned to my good friend and kissed him right on the mouth, Gary Flilello.
Gary Flilello. Oh, me.
Definitely me. Not.
Gary Flilello. Gary Flilello. Let me tell you now. I can tell you true. I was walking around the fields and I looked at all the plants I'd planted. I looked at all the veg I'd grown. And I looked at all the dinosaurs I'd genetically engineered. And I looked at my work and it was good. And I said that to my dear friend, Ian Wood. Ian Wood, but maybe he shouldn't. Now that concludes the Neighbourhood Watch roll call, Patreon Neighbourhood Watch roll call for today. Stay safe out there and don't let the T-Rex bite.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.